Because of a late start in leaving town, they didn't reach Karnes County until dusk the second day. Paget did not remain with the wagon road. Knowing his way, he cut across the sandy grassland through mesquite and live oak.
Dark is fixing to catch us. We'll make a camp on a little creek up ahead. I'd rather approach old man Dodge in the daylight anyway. If we ride up on him in the dark, he's liable to shoot first and then ask us who we are.
Nervous, is he?
Karnes County is a nervous locality. Been a good many men killed. Helena used to be the jumping-off place to the coast, as well as to Mexico. It was a hell-roaring town till the railroad passed it by. It rolled over and died after that.
Just because it didn't get the railroad?
Yeah, it's happened to lots of places. Most of the business moved away. Folks called a new county seat election. Karnes City won, but it had to send an armed posse to steal the records out of the old Helena courthouse in the dead of night. You can still get killed if you cross the wrong people. Old man Dodge has crossed a good many in his time.
Fat listened with growing apprehension.
I didn't figure on running into any kind of danger.
We won't run from any. A little danger flavors up your life, like salt flavors the beans. Just a pinch, though. Too much spoils the pot.
Huey suspected Paget was having a little fun at Fat's expense, but there was a chance he was serious.
Well, I'd better tell you now, if we run into trouble, I'm not a good shot.
No matter. I do the shooting. Me and the fat boy.
Fat looked as if he'd swallowed a chew of tobacco. Next morning, they rode by several prosperous-looking farms in a small community with a steepled church.
There's good soil here. Doesn't always rain enough, but that's Texas for you. Before the war, a bunch of Polanders came here from the old country. Poor as church mice they was. They come nice starving the first winter, till old Colonel Booter brought them a bunch of his own steers for beef. Good man, the Colonel, if he was his friend. But you didn't want him for an enemy. That's the way with folks down here. They'll give you their last shirt if they see you need it. They'll fight like bulldogs if somebody tries to take it away from them.
Sounds like C.C. Tarpley and Eli Jessup.
I bossed trail herds for them two moss horns way back when they was partners. They was setting their ways like a pair of old maids. Quarreled like two snot-nosed kids in a schoolyard. I had a gutful of it and quit.
Well, it hasn't gotten any better. I suspect that C.C. is having you buy these cattle just for spite. He's found some land for sale and wants to stock it before Jessup can beat him to it.
It's the kind of childishness that made me quit him. I believe I'll make C.C. pay me an extra commission on this deal. He'll squeal like a stuck pig.
They left the farming community behind. Paget pointed to an adobe house in the distance.
We're coming up on Dodge's country now.
Where's the fence?
He hasn't got one, except for a holding trap. Them's his cows yonder with the D-Cross brand.
Huey noted that they were in good flesh. He figured they were likely to lose some of that out on the Pecos, where they had to hunt harder to find grass.
How come Dodge is selling out? This looks like good cattle country.
He's getting on in years. He stove up to where he can't take care of things like he wants to. He's got no kids, just a shiftless nephew he don't like much. He believes the boy would squander the whole shebang.
If it was mine, I wouldn't squander it. When I get a place of my own, I'll hold on to it, come hell or high water.
Well, with the money Dodge will get for these cattle and the ranch, he could go to San Antonio and live high. I would if I was in his place.
Dodge is not one for high living. All he needs is a good horse or two, a roof that don't leak, and a bed that won't make his bones ache. That'll keep him as content as a natural grouch can ever be.
Nearing the adobe house, Huey saw that it was but a crumbling shell, its roof gone, its windows and doors removed. At one corner stood a small round wall that he took to be the top of a cistern.
I'm thirsty enough to drink the whole thing dry.
Paget made a wry smile as Fat loped ahead.
He's a little late. The cistern dried up years ago.
The windlass leaned a little. A short length of rotted rope still clung to it. Fat dismounted and peered over the edge.
I can't see no water.
He dropped a stone.
Used to be a Mexican settler here. Dodge bought him out.
Huey had heard stories about Americans driving the original owners away and taking over their land.
You sure he bought them out? Or maybe he just run them off?
Old Dodge is rougher than a dry cob. He'll drive a hard bargain, but he wouldn't cheat anybody. Not even a Mexican.
They came after a time to a fence. The barbed wire still had some of its original shine.
This is the holding trap. Dodge fenced it off for those times when it needs to keep stock gathered for a few days, like for selling or for doctoring. Keeps a few horses in it, too.
Rising dusk drew Huey's attention to a small gathering of cattle moving up the fence toward him. A rider loped out in front and stepped down to open a wire gate.
Looks like they're throwing him into the trap.
He spurred up to help. Huey and the others followed. The Mexican lad in his teens gave them a civil nod and turned his attention to pointing the cattle through the opening. Reed thin, he was mounted on a sorrel bronc, using a hackamore instead of bridle and bits. The horse eyed the newcomers nervously, ears flicking back and forth as it searched for something to booger at. The cattle, bearing the D-Cross brand, filed through the open gate, followed by three Mexican riders. The young man beckoned Paget and the others through the gate, then got down and closed it.
Hola, Juanito! We come to see your patron.
Paget turned to Huey.
In this part of the country, it helps if we can speak Spanish.
Señor Paget, you are many days late. The patron has looked a long time for you.
Had a little trouble. Where is the old man?
A casa. Yesterday he fell from his horse. Today, he hurts much. We gather his cattle.
Huey guessed 400 or 500 head were confined within sight. He assumed there were more that he couldn't see. It would not take long for them to graze off whatever grass the small enclosure could provide.
We'll ride on to the house and talk to him.
He has much to say to you, I think.
What kind of humor is he in?
Same as every day. He is much anger.
Nothing new about that.
Paget jerked his head at Huey and the others.
Come on. We just as well let him get the cussing over with so we can settle down to business.
Huey had built a pleasant mental image of what the Dodge home place would look like. Perhaps a nice two-story frame house with a cupola and ornate gingerbread trim around the eaves. The first sight of it disillusioned him. He had seen Spartan dwellings, including the one in which he and Walter grew up. But the Dodge Ranch headquarters was only a few notches better than a coyote den. The small adobe house stood squat with much of its original plaster falling away, leaving the mud walls exposed and gradually deteriorating. Standing nearby, in sharp contrast, Huey saw a sturdy barn and an expansive set of solidly built corrals. Two windmills stood tall against the sky, their fans turning slowly. Huey could almost taste the water. It was clear that Dodge's first priority was business. Comfort came later, if at all.
Stock lives better than he does. From the looks of this place, he doesn't have a woman nagging at him for something better.
Huey aimed the remark more at Walter than at Paget. Walter made no response.
As far as I know, he's been a bachelor all his life. When he was younger, he'd sometimes bring a sporting woman down from San Antone, but he never stayed long.
I can understand why. I'd want to give a woman something better than what I see here.
Yeah, and she'd keep you broke. You're better off like you are. You don't have to worry about anybody but yourself.
And you, Huey. Sometimes you worry me half to death.
Huey developed several different mental images of Dodge. They had one thing in common, eyes that flashed fire. Paget pointed to Fat and Gabe.
You boys tie your horses and rest yourselves in the shade. Mr. Dodge don't like too much company at once. Me and Huey and Walter go talk to him.
Fat seemed grateful for a chance to get out of the sun. He dismounted and handed his reins to Gabe, silently letting him know he expected Gabe to tie his horse for him. Huey considered telling Fat to do it himself, but at the moment he had more pressing business. If Gabe harbored any resentment, he did not betray it. He was probably used to being treated like a servant.
You all better let me do the talking. Old man Dodge is kind of peculiar.
Huey wondered if he was any more peculiar than Paget. Paget knocked on the door frame because the door itself was open. In a moment, a bent-shouldered little man came to the door in his sock feet, limping heavily, grumbling with every step. He had shrunk considerably from Huey's mental images. The rancher blinked against the outdoor brightness, trying to see.
Who the hell is it? What the hell do you want?
It's me, Mr. Dodge. Sorry if I got you up from bed.
Hell, if it wasn't you, it'd be some other son of a bitch. Come on in.
He squinted, still having trouble seeing.
Who's that with you? I don't invite just any damn Mexican into this house.
Huey realized why Paget told Gabe to stay out in the shade. And he probably assumed Fat would have nothing constructive to add to the conversation.
These boys are here representing C.C. Tarpley. Huey Calloway is C.C.'s top hand.
That was a shameless stretch of the truth, but Huey liked the sound of it. Dodge's flinty eyes were not ablaze. though otherwise they were much as Huey imagined them. They bored through him like a drill.
The hell? I've heard about Tarpley. He's too much of a tightwad to keep a top hand. These boys don't look very damn bright to me.
Huey considered telling him he'd been all the way through the fourth grade. He could even exaggerate a little and make it the fifth grade. But he decided Dodge wasn't interested in that much information.
Me and Walter have been up the trail once.
Hell, half the men in this county have been up the trail. And lots of them still don't know how to pour water out of a bucket.
Though he had run into cranky people all his life, old man Dodge might be the crankiest of them all. By all odds, he was the most profane. The Calloway brothers would earn their wages, looked like, just putting up with his irascible nature for however long it would take to get the cattle gathered and onto the trail. Huey wondered if he might have been better off waiting at the ranch and taking his chances with Smith or Trumbull or whatever the cow thief's real name was. Dodge motioned for the three of them to come all the way into the house. It was small, just one room with a stove, steel cot, table, and three well-aged hard wooden chairs. Shelves along one wall held dishes and canned food stuff. Dodge braced himself on a chair, then sank with care onto the edge of the cot.
Juanito told me you fell off a horse.
Like hell. I ain't so old that I fall off of horses. I got throwed off, fair and square. That boy talks too damn much.
Yeah, maybe he did say throwed off. Age has made me smarter, but it ain't helped my memory much.
Where the hell have you been all this time? You were supposed to have got these cattle 3 weeks ago.
Had a little run-in with a narrow-minded sheriff. I'd be in the hoosegow yet if it weren't for these boys.
You put me in a hell of a damn bind. I got to move all my cattle off of this property inside of 3 days. Me and my vaqueros been rounding them up and throwing them into the trap. Since you didn't show up, I figured I'd have to drive them to San Antone and take whatever the hell I can get for them.
Why the big hurry?
Any remnants that's left here past the day after tomorrow will go to the new owner. I didn't figure on it taking so long for you to get here.
It was common practice in ranch sales that ungathered remnants of cattle went to the buyer.
It ain't your fault I got delayed. Looks like your buyer would give you some slack.
Slack? Hell. You ever met Sid Slocum?
Seen him. Never cared to meet him.
I shot better men than him in the border wars, and they wasn't even American. This would be a better world if his mammy had stuffed him in a sack and drowned him the day he was born. Damned if I know how he's got by this long without somebody killing him.
The meek ain't inherited the earth yet. How come you sold to him in the first place?
I didn't.
Dodge dropped his chin, turned his face to the wall.
I lied to you. I didn't exactly sell this place. I lost it to the bank. And they sold the paper to Slocum, the thieving son of a bitch.
I had no idea things was that tough.
And all I'll get out of it is what the cattle bring. They wasn't mortgaged.
Why couldn't you sold just enough cattle to pay off what you owed?
Too much debt and not enough cattle.
Looks like the bank would accept what you could pay them and extend the note on the rest.
The bank might have, but Slocum wouldn't. He demanded all of it in cash. He knew I couldn't raise that much. I wish I could set the whole damn place on fire when I leave. Leave that bastard nothing but a pile of ashes.
Who is this Slocum?
He's a highbinder who got his start running whiskey up in the Indian nations. When he got chased out of there, he come down here to this country and swindled poor Mexicans out of the land. Now he's buying up mortgages and foreclosing on them. A scavenger is what he is.
At least you'll have the cattle money. You can start over.
At my age? Damn it to hell. Why have we got to get old anyway?
There's only one way to prevent it, and that's to die young. Me and you are already past that.
The way I figure it, I got just today and tomorrow to finish the gathering, then push my cattle across the property line by the day after tomorrow. Any remnants we leave behind are Slocum's.
Juanito and some of your Mexicans was pushing cattle into the trap as we came along.
They'll have time enough for one more sweep before sundown. We'll work the southeast corner tomorrow.
Huey thought he was using the word we too loosely. Dodge appeared too stove up to get back on a horse.
Me and these boys will throw in with you. We'll round up everything but the jackrabbits.
I'll be able to ride tomorrow.
Huey doubted that.
What kind of horse was Juanito riding?
A sorrel bronc with a hackamore.
So I thought. He favors that colt and neglects the others he's supposed to break. I've got to give him a damn good balling out.
Huey suspected Dodge was handy at doing that.
Juanito seems like a good hand.
If arthritis didn't have such a chokehold on me, I'd be breaking the horses myself instead of turning them over to a Mexican. That Juanito thinks he's puro jinete. But he's got a hell of a lot to learn about bronc stomping. How can you teach these Mexican boys anything when they don't even know the American language?
He speaks American better than I speak Mexican.
If they're going to live here, by God, they ought to learn to talk American. The Bible is American. Ain't that good enough for them?
Huey caught a faint smile in Walter's eyes and hoped he wasn't going to try to educate Dodge on the history of the scriptures. The old man would probably chase both of them out of the house and maybe off the ranch. Dodge made an effort to get up from the edge of the cot, but fell back. One hand pressed against his hip again. Paget took a quick step toward him.
Are you all right?
Well, ain't nothing wrong with me. Just sore as hell from that hard landing yesterday.
Huey suspected it was more than that, and Paget's expression indicated that he had the same feeling.
We'll get out of the way and let you rest. If it's all right, we'll set up camp in your barn.
Camp anywhere that suits you. Burn it all down for all I care. It ain't mine for much longer anyway.
Dodge didn't try again to get up as the three visitors went out the door.
He looks like there might be more wrong with him than just falling off of a horse.
He's wore out. One of these old ranchers will do that to you.
That's why I never want to have one. How many rich men did you ever see that looked happy? As soon as they get something, they start laying awake at night afraid they'll lose it. Owning a lot of property makes a man grow old before his time.
It hasn't hurt C.C. Tarpley.
Don't get any notions about competing with the likes of C.C. When a little fish tries to swim with the big fish, they turn around and eat them.
At the barn, they found an elderly Mexican loading a wagon to which a chuck box was attached.
I suppose you're the cocinero?
Huh? The cook? Sí, señor. Me llamo Sixto.
Well, Sixto, you got 5 more mouths to feed.
Huey saw a horseman approaching the adobe house in an easy jog trot, his spine straight, his head back. He was Anglo, not Mexican, so he was no employee of Dodge's. His ruddy face was twisted as if he smelled a skunk. Paget clenched his fists.
Son of a bitch. That's Sid Slocum. Come to rub salt in old man Dodge's wounds, I expect. Stand by me, boys. We ain't letting him get into the house.
Paget led Huey and Walter back to the adobe. Gabe and Fat followed. The closer Slocum came, the less Huey liked his looks. He was already prejudiced by what Dodge had said, and the man's stiff-backed, arrogant way of sitting in the saddle indicated that he had appointed himself the cock of the walk. People like that made Huey think of a bloated steer. The cure for those was a puncture in the side to let the air out. Slocum glared down at the newcomers without making any move to dismount.
Who are you people, and what is your business here?
Paget set his feet apart in a challenging stance.
Ain't none of your business who comes here or what they do. This place ain't yours for a few more days.
At midnight Wednesday, to be exact. I came to see if Dodge has moved his cattle yet.
He's thrown most of them in a holding trap out yonder. You can't see but a few from here.
Slocum turned to look northward. A narrow neck of the trap ran up to the headquarters so that cattle could come in for water. A handful loafed around the water lot. The rest were grazing toward the trap's far end, out of sight.
They had better be gone on time or they'll be mine. The contract firmly states...
I know all about your contract and how you're driving an old man out of his home. You ain't wanted here while the place is still Mr. Dodge's. You better get before the sky clouds up and rains on you.
Slocum involuntarily looked up before he caught himself. Not a cloud was in sight.
I have come to talk to Dodge. I intend to do so.
You can't. He's ailing.
He will ail more severely if he does not vacate this ranch. I'll be back Thursday to take possession. Your name is Paget, is it not?
Slocum edged his horse closer to the house. Huey stepped in to block him.
Mr. Paget says you ain't going in.
Slocum's scowl deepened.
Get out of the way, cowboy!
For a moment, Slocum appeared ready to try to ride over Huey. Gabe grabbed Slocum's bridle reins just below the bit.
Turn loose!
He roughly yanked the reins from Gabe's hand and jerked his horse around. He rode away, his chin high in anger. Gabe rubbed his hand, for Slocum's leather reins had burned his fingers.
You've made an enemy of him, Huey.
He ain't anybody I'd want for a friend.
From what I gather, he doesn't have many of those anyway. But he's got money. And a man with plenty of money can rent friends when he needs them.
Paget pointed at the barn.
Let's unload our stuff. Then we'll ride out and see if we can help Juanito pick up some more cattle. Boy, how's your hand?
Just smarts a little is all.
Yeah, rub some axe grease on it when we get back. Axe grease and Epsom salts will cure almost anything.
They gathered more than 100 head the next day and turned them into the small trap. Huey noted that the grass was disappearing under the weight of heavy grazing. It would be high time to get these cattle on the move, even if Dodge wasn't facing a short deadline. Dodge had dragged himself from the house, ignoring Paget's insistence that they could handle the job without him. By standing his horse next to a corral fence, he managed to climb up and force his aching body into the saddle. He turned away, offers of help.
Damn it! I can do this by myself! I ain't no damn cripple!
The last small set of cows and calves passed through the wire gate. Dodge finished counting.
Altogether, we're just about 20 short of 700 head. I hope whatever's left come down with the bloody scours. No, I wouldn't wish that onto a bunch of poor dumb animals. I wish Slocum would get the scours instead.
We'll have to commence moving them in the morning to get across your property line by sundown.
You can bet that grasping son of a bitch will watch us all the way.
Huey could see a man on horseback, observing from a distance of several hundred yards.
I believe he already is.
After supper, the old man hobbled around the adobe house and made his slow way out to the barn, pausing often to stare at first one thing and then another. Walter motioned to Huey.
He's taking a last look around. He hates leaving here a lot worse than he lets on.
For a long while, Dodge leaned against a corral fence, his gaze fixed far away in space, and perhaps also in time. The young vaquero, Juanito, tentatively moved in Dodge's direction as if he sought to give him comfort. He stopped short and considered. He turned back reluctantly, leaving the old rancher's privacy undisturbed.
I reckon Juanito sees Dodge as a substitute daddy.
The old Dickens doesn't treat him like a substitute son.
To hear Dodge cuss, you might think he's too tough for tears, but he's weeping inside. He's put a big part of his life into this place. A lot of blood and sweat.
Huey nodded toward Walter.
That's what being tied to a piece of property will do to you. I don't want to stay in one place so long that I grieve when I leave it. There's always something better over the hill.
Even if there is, it won't mean as much if none of it belongs to you.
Watching the old man, Huey felt a tightening in his throat. He thought it was probably something he ate for supper. Sixto's cooking had more pepper in it than he was used to. Juanito and the other Mexican hands slept near the corrals in an adobe even smaller than Dodge's. Huey awoke in the barn before good daylight, stirred out of sleep by excited voices speaking in Spanish. He laid his top blanket aside, putting on his hat and then his boots. In his underwear, he walked out into the first light of a pink dawn to see Juanito on the night horse, galloping toward Dodge's house.
What's the matter? Who's dead?
Most of the cattle! They are gone!
The youngster jumped to the ground, dropped the reins, and raced into Dodge's house. Huey turned to the barn. He took time to put on his breeches, but was still buttoning his shirt when he went outside and headed down toward the house. Juanito hurried past him, leading the horse back to the corrals. With one boot on and one in his hand, Dodge stood on the front step.
Saddle my old gun! I'll be there in a minute!
Huey followed Juanito.
I go to rustle horses for work today, but I don't see many cattle. What I see is the fence down and the cattle gone.
How in the hell could that happen?
I think it was Slocum.
The ranch horses were accustomed to a morning feed and had not gone away with the cattle. Juanito brought them in. Huey saddled and was following Juanito out into the trap before the other men began catching their mounts. As the sun broke over the horizon, Juanito stopped to look at the ground.
Many cattle tracks.
Huey saw horse tracks as well.
Them cattle didn't stray up by themselves. Somebody drove them.
Juanito showed him where the fence was down at the back side of the trap, some distance from headquarters. The wires had been cut, then pulled free of the posts for most of 50 yards. The cattle had been pushed out through the wide opening and scattered. Huey saw a few grazing in the morning's early light, for some would stop when they were no longer driven. They were nowhere near the 700 that had been in the trap.
Slocum's bunch did their dirty work far enough away that none of us would hear them. And we were supposed to get the cattle off the property today.
The other men caught up to Huey and Juanito. Fat Gervin, sleepy-eyed, brought up the rear.
That damn Slocum. I always knew he was a rattlesnake, but I never would have thought of him doing this.
We'll get busy and bring back as many as we can.
How many will that be? Everything we can't find today will be remnants tomorrow. They all belong to that scheming son of a bitch.
We'll do our best and salvage all we can.
Can we get breakfast? I ain't it yet.
No one paid attention to Fat's complaint. Huey struck out in a long trot toward the farthest group of cattle he could see. Walter followed. They gave the cows and calves a push back toward the trap, then set out to seek more. Gabe joined them. Juanito and the other hands set off in different directions. Huey lost track of Dodge and Paget. By noon, a rough count told them they'd recovered more than 400. That was well short of the number originally confined in the trap.
No, looks like that old man ain't gonna have as much money as he figured on for his retirement.
If he felt any sympathy, he didn't show it.
We ain't done yet. We'll go back and scout for some more.
Fat's shoulders drooped.
I wouldn't have taken this job if I'd have known it'd starve me to death.
Missing a meal won't kill you. If they was to render you out, they'd get 100 pounds of pure lard.
By late afternoon, the hands had gathered a couple hundred more. Dodge counted them, too discouraged even to curse.
Close to 100 short.
We'd best settle for what we've got and start them to moving.
Even if we push all night. I doubt we can make it across my line by morning.
Well, let's try anyway. Slocum ain't getting this herd without he knows he's been in a horse race.
Huey helped get the cattle started westward, then stopped.
I'm for going back to hunt some more.
I go too.
We need all hands to hold what we've got. And keep him moving at a good clip.
Paget glanced worriedly at Dodge.
I don't know how much longer he can hold on, the shape he's in.
Our horses are about give out.
Paget nodded at Juanito.
You'd best go back to headquarters and bring up the rest of the Ramuda. Take Fat with you. He won't hinder you too much. And tell Sixto to load the chuck wagon with everything you can lay his hands on.
Maybe then we can get something to eat.
Fat and Juanito rode off in a long trot. Paget looked toward the afternoon sun.
We still got a couple hours of daylight. We'll keep pushing after dark, even if we lose a few.
He rode over to talk to Dodge. Dodge still lamented leaving close to 100 head for Slocum.
You know the old Bible story about the man who went looking for one lost sheep and forgot about the other 99?
I never read it. And these ain't sheep.
Juanito and Fat brought up the Ramuda just before dark so all the riders could change to fresh mounts. Sixto took the wagon on ahead. Later he would stop to build a fire. He would reheat last night's beans and boil coffee to be ready when the herd reached him. Another vaquero took charge of the extra horses. By their nature, they wanted to move faster than the cow herd. Some played, biting at one another and pitching, squealing, breaking wind.
Well, if we travel all night, maybe we'll be gone before Slocum knows we've trumped him.
Juanito's eyes were cold.
What I would like to do to this Slocum.
He slid a finger across his throat.
Yeah, there's probably some fool law against it.
The cattle were allowed to water in the creek while the men ate a quick supper of coffee, beans, and Dutch oven bread that had not been given time to bake all the way through. Huey looked at the rising moon.
Lucky for us, it's full. At least we can see better what we're doing.
The skimpy supper gave him fresh energy for a while, but the effect began to wear off in the long hours after midnight. One of the Mexican hands went to sleep and fell out of the saddle. The cattle had slowed considerably, despite the best efforts of the man at the rear to keep punching them up. He didn't know the country well enough to recognize landmarks, even if he'd seen them. He became aware that darkness was fading under a weak show of early light in the east. He made out the ruins of a house ahead. It was the old adobe with the dried-up cistern. Dodge seemed enlivened. His back straightened as he rode alongside the strung-out herd.
Keep them coming, compadres. We're damn near there. My property ends a mile or so past that old homestead.
Huey rubbed his eyes. His tired body ached, and the lack of sleep made his stomach cramp. He knew that from a legal standpoint, they were already past the contract time for Dodge's ranch to pass into Slocum's ownership, and with it, any cattle remaining on the property. But possession still counted for something. Not enough, though. Three men rode out from behind the adobe walls. Huey's stomach cramped harder as he recognized Sid Slocum. Not until the three approached the herd did he see the badge on one rider's vest. He assumed the third man was either a deputy or a Slocum hired hand. Neither was good news. Dodge slumped. Paget rode up on one side of him, Juanito on the other, offering moral support. Huey moved closer, his tired horse slow to respond to the light touch of his spurs.
Sheriff, you have a duty to perform. You had best be about it, wouldn't you say?
Reluctantly, the lawman moved half a length ahead of Slocum, drawing a folded paper from inside his vest.
Mr. Dodge, I hate to do this.
Get on with it.
Don't be telling me what to do. I'm the law here.
And I'm a tax-paying citizen of this county.
Be careful, or you may find yourself paying a lot more. I'll remind you that I'm also the county tax assessor and collector.
He crumpled the paper in his fist.
Mr. Dodge, this is an order to turn over your land and whatever's on it to Sidney Slocum as of midnight last night.
Dodge nodded dully.
As an officer of the law, I've got no choice. Even though I consider Mr. Slocum to be a first cousin to a javelina hog.
He gave Slocum a poisonous look and reined his horse around.
Let's travel, deputy.
Wait, where are you going?
Back to town. I've served your damn paper. The rest is up to you.
But I'll need help.
You're rich. Hire some.
Slocum's haughty manner left him. Apprehension took its place.
I forbid you to ride off and leave me here by myself.
Adios, Slocum.
I will sue you for malfeasance of duty.
The sheriff and the deputy kept riding. Huey wondered what malfeasance meant. It sounded like some dread disease. He hoped Slocum would catch it. In his view, the sheriff left an open invitation. He waited for a reaction from Dodge. Slocum did not wait. He reached down to his hip and came up with a pistol.
Now be gone from here, all of you. Be gone before I start shooting.
Dodge's eyes turned dangerous.
You ain't got the guts of a turkey buzzard. You won't shoot a man who's looking you in the eye.
Dodge urged his horse forward. He was wrong. Ow! Dodge grabbed his arm and almost fell.
Adios mio!
Juanito slammed his horse against Slocum's. He almost knocked the man from the saddle. Slocum brought the pistol down against Juanito's head. Juanito went to the ground. Slocum waved the gun wildly.
Everyone stay back!
The sheriff and deputy returned in a gallop.
Slocum, you throw that pistol down!
Slocum hesitated. The sheriff wrenched the smoking weapon from his hand and hurled it away. He rubbed his hand where the hot barrel had burned it. Paget helped Dodge down from his horse. Dodge knelt by Juanito's side, ignoring the wound in his arm to dab his neckerchief at blood running down the boy's face.
You're right, Hill. Say something, boy.
The sheriff dismounted, looking at first one and the other. He touched the old man's arm.
You're a hit, Mr. Dodge.
Dodge waved him away.
Scratches all. I've had mesquite thorns bite me deeper than that. But he didn't have to pistol whip this boy.
I was under imminent threat.
As you can see, Sheriff, there ain't nobody packing iron except Slocum.
I was compelled to defend myself.
Looks to me like you overdid it. You want me to send a doctor out, Mr. Dodge?
Juanito blinked, trying to clear his eyes.
You're all right, boy. You just lay still a while.
He looked up at the sheriff.
Don't send no doctor. We can take care of our own.
How about charges?
No charges either. You're going back to town and get your breakfast.
He gave Slocum a hard look.
We can take care of our own.
The sheriff gripped the reins his deputy had been holding and got on his horse.
Hasta luego.
Ain't you taking Slocum with you?
He ain't charged with anything. He can find his own way home.
Sheriff! Sheriff, wait! Sheriff!
Slocum yelled after the sheriff, but to no avail. He made a run for his horse. Huey cut in front of him, waving his hat.
Yeah, get out of here!
Already nervous from the shot, the horse ran off, trailing the reins. Gabe followed in a long trot, pushing it farther away.
You bring that horse back here!
Gabe returned, but without the horse. Fear came into Slocum's eyes.
I'm within my legal rights!
Sure you are. Was I you, I'd go catch my horse right now and start inspecting your ranch way over on the far side. Now, some of these boys may forget their gentle nature.
Slocum ran for his pistol, which lay where the sheriff had thrown it.
Head him off! He'll shoot somebody else sure as hell!
With no time to think about it, Huey spurred between Slocum and the pistol. He loosed the horn string and shook out his rope. He flipped the loop around Slocum and rode away, taking a quick wrap around the horn. The rope went taut and jerked Slocum off his feet. He landed hard. Huey dragged him away from the pistol. His Slocum tried to worm his way out of the loop, but Huey jerked it tight. Slocum fell again. He raised up on his hands.
Sheriff! Sheriff! Help, Sheriff!
The wind was blowing. The sheriff didn't seem to hear. The shot had spooked the cattle into a trot moving westward. Paget turned to Walter and the others who had gathered there.
Long as they're bound to drift anyway, I don't see any reason to get in their way.
We'll just follow to be sure they don't get lost.
You gotta be careful not to drive them, exactly. The sheriff might consider that cheating. Just kinda nudge him a little.
We're fixing to get in bad trouble.
How long you gonna keep your rope on Mr. Slocum?
I don't see any hurry. His horse has ran off. Looks like the poor feller's got a walk home.
He might come back with some of his hired help. It'd be nice if he could be talked into staying right here for a while.
Huey looked toward the old house. Perhaps he might find something to which he could tie Slocum. His gaze fell upon the cistern. As he remembered, it was at least 20 feet deep.
I'll entertain Mr. Slocum while you all go see after the cattle. It'd be a shame if they was to stray across the property line.
Gabe's grin reached all the way across his face.
Sure would.
Walter helped the shaky Juanito back onto his horse.
You hold on tight, boy. Wouldn't want you to fall off and hurt yourself some more.
The two rode away in the wake of the cattle. Walter held back.
Huey, I don't know what you're planning on, but you're fixing to get in trouble. Again.
You go on. They can't lay any blame on you if you ain't here.
Walter rode off, but he looked back a couple of times. Slocum still sat on the ground. Huey made two more wraps around his middle, pulling the rope tight. Slocum's mouth sagged open.
What are you going to do?
Well, I'm studying on it. Been looking at them mesquites yonder, but I ain't sure any of them are big enough to hold a man of your weight.
You wouldn't hang me, would you?
Well, the thing that troubles me is what will I do with you afterwards? The shovel's on the chuck wagon and it's gone on ahead. Couldn't depend on the coyotes to clean everything up.
He retrieved Slocum's pistol, mounted up.
Get on up and start walking.
Slocum struggled to his feet. The morning was not yet warm, but he was sweating heavily.
Hey, be careful! That pistol's still loaded!
Huey made a show of examining it.
Well, sure enough.
Huey let it point casually toward Slocum.
Look, cowboy, I have money. I'll give you $100.
$100? That ain't a month's pay, hardly.
Actually, it was more than 3 months' pay, but details could be tiresome. Slocum dragged his feet as Huey pointed him toward the crumbling mud walls. He got as far as the cistern.
That'll do. Stop right there.
Sweat cut little trails down Slocum's dusty face.
Oh my God! Surely you wouldn't shoot me and throw me down that well.
It crossed my mind.
I'll do anything you ask me. I'll even sign the ranch back over to Dodge.
Nope. Can't trust you. As soon as you got free, you'd welch on the deal. But tell you what I will do. You climb over into that well and I won't shoot you. Maybe somebody will come along and find you eventually.
I might starve to death before that.
Slim chance is better than no chance at all. Climb over.
Huey waved the pistol. Slocum put one leg across the cistern wall.
You won't let me drop, will you? I can break my back.
I'll hold on to the rope. You go on down.
Huey dismounted and braced the rope against his hip, playing it out as Slocum descended. It slackened when the man reached the dry bottom.
I want my rope back. I'll leave it here so if somebody was to come by, they'll have something to haul you out with.
What if no one comes by?
Well, let's don't think about that. Say, any rattlesnakes down there?
Snakes? My God!
There must not be any or they'd let you know. But if any show up, they won't bite you. They recognize their kin.
He opened the cylinder and removed the cartridges that remained in Slocum's pistol. Tossing them away, he leaned over the wall.
Here's your gun. I don't want you claiming I stole it from you.
He dropped the pistol in.
Oh. 500! I give you 500! Just don't leave me here! 1,000! Come back! Don't leave me! Come back!
Huey rode out to where Slocum's horse grazed and removed the saddle, blanket, and bridle. He flipped the leather reins gently across the horse's rump.
There you go. I reckon you can find your way home.
He watched the horse trot away. Huey took his time catching up with the herd. Walter rode out to meet him.
I hope you didn't do something that'll get us all sent to the pen.
Never touched a hair on his head.
Where's he at?
I left him back yonder. He's taking a long look at some of his property.
The herd was well beyond what had been Dodge's property line when Padgett rode back from the point.
We're coming up on the San Antonio Road.
Dodge was riding along with the drags and seemed to be having a hard time keeping up. The flesh wound he suffered at Slocum's hands was evidently causing a little fever.
There's a ranch house up ahead. Why don't you stop off and rest a while? You can catch up to us when you feel better.
I'm staying with you to San Antonio.
We're not so far from your place that we can't send back for anything you want to take along.
What little I need is in $6 wagon. I can buy whatever I might want, and it'll be new. Not junk like I'm leaving for Slocum.
He looked behind him.
Where is Slocum? I figured he'd have caught up and be raising hell with us again by now.
Huey hadn't told anyone what he had done. If trouble should come of it, he wanted nobody else to be blamed.
After shooting you and pistol-whipping Juanito, he's probably keeping his head down.
Oh, way down.
Padgett pointed the cattle onto the trail. The most trudged along on either side of it. After a while, Huey became aware of a horseman catching up from behind. Recognizing the sheriff, he felt uneasy. Maybe he should have left the herd and made himself scarce for a while. The sheriff was alone.
Mr. Dodge, how's your arm doing?
Done forgot about it.
I see that your cattle have strayed past your old property line.
It wasn't past at midnight. This is Thursday.
As far as I'm concerned, this is Wednesday. I believe Slocum read his calendar wrong.
Dodge straightened his shoulders as he realized the sheriff was opening a door for him.
Maybe he did.
If he hollers, it'll be his word against ours. The way most folks feel about him, I doubt that any court around here would give him much of a show. You sure you're feeling all right?
Like I was 20 years old.
Then take care of yourself, kid.
He started to turn away.
Sheriff, hold up a minute. I need to talk to you.
Walter gave him a questioning look, but Huey motioned for him to go on. He waited until the others had passed beyond hearing.
It's about Slocum.
The sheriff's eyebrows lifted.
I hope you've done no violence to him.
No. He's safe and sound where I left him, but he ain't going no place for a while. You know that old adobe ruin with the dry cistern?
I've been there.
Well, I was figuring on going back and doing it myself, but since you're here, you might want to ride by that cistern and take a look down inside. Not today, though. Maybe tomorrow. By then, I expect Slocum will agree to anything that'll get him back up into the daylight.
You dropped him down that well?
Well, I didn't drop him exactly. He climbed down of his own free will and accord. Somehow, he took a silly notion I was fixing to hang him.
I wonder who gave him such an idea. All right, I'll go by there tomorrow. The next day, for sure.
If any trouble comes of this, I've done it all myself. Was nobody else knew about it.
I'm not sure I ever heard your name. How does Bill Jones suit you?
Well, that'll do.
Juanito rode in the wagon the first day on the San Antonio Trail. The second day, he insisted upon riding his sorrel bronc again.
You worked that pony into the ground.
A bronc needs plenty work. Work is the best teacher.
Padgett called an early halt.
There's still daylight left.
There's grass and water here. A man don't want to push cows and calves too hard.
Huey suspected Padgett's real concern was not the herd. Dodge looked pale and drawn. Both men had counted the cattle and come to an agreement on the number. All that remained from a business standpoint was the writing of a draft on C.C. Tarpley's bank account.
I'm in no hurry about that. I can't spend the money until I get to San Antonio anyway. And I don't want to risk losing it by carrying it around. I got in trouble that way one time. Didn't bank my check for most of a month. By that time, the old boy who wrote it had gone flat busted.
Well, you don't need to worry about C.C. I expect he's still got the first dollar he ever made. He sure ain't spent it paying wages.
Cowboys don't need much anyway. Money leaks through their fingers like sand through a sieve.
Dodge sat on his rolled blankets and stared into the dying embers of Sixto's cooking fire.
That ranch back yonder ain't the first place I ever lost. Every cowman I know has gone broke two or three times. I wish somebody had got it besides Sid Slocum.
At least you got away with most of the cattle. We've crossed the county line, so I don't think Slocum's apt to send the sheriff after you. We're out of his jurisdiction.
He might send a pack of them damned lawyers.
Huey itched to tell what he had done to Slocum, but now and then he suffered a spasm of good judgment.
Well, the sheriff told me if I went to court, he'd swear that Slocum was looking at last year's calendar and we got the cattle off on Wednesday.
And after all, the boundary wasn't fenced. Slocum would have to get it surveyed to prove exactly where it lays. By that time, his herd would be all the way out to the Pecos River. He'd never find it, unless you told him where it went.
I wouldn't tell that damn skinflint where to find a water bucket if his britches was on fire.
Well, I bet you could hire some Mexican to kill him for $50. Maybe less.
Dodge seemed to savor the thought for just a minute.
Wouldn't do no good. Everything would go to a sorry kin, and I wouldn't be no better off.
Paget studied the old man's face in the firelight.
I'm wondering how long you can idle around the San Antonio hotel lobbies before you start itching to get back in the cattle business.
I don't know. I was chasing mavericks and burning my own brand on them before the big war. I've rode the market up and down so many times I've lost count and watched my cows starve through more damn droughts than I want to think about. But there's something about it that gets in the blood, like other people take to drinking or gambling, I guess. Ranchers and dirt farmers are about the worst gamblers in the world. The deck is stacked against them most of the time. But they keep playing the game as long as they got a chip left.
Almost from the first, Huey had his eye on a wily-eyed spotted cow who kept looking around, seeking an opening for escape. It seemed that no matter how docile a herd might be, one or two incorrigible bunch quitters were always awaiting their chance. He had chased her down and turned her back into the herd three times. His first thought was she might have left a calf behind, but her udder wasn't swollen. She was just unsociable. Exiling her to short grazing in the Pecos River country seemed a reasonable punishment for her errant behavior. Between watching for the cow to break out again and watching the back trail for a sign of Sid Slocum and the law, his time was fully occupied.
Get back in there, you mangy whore!
Dodge was closest to the cow the next time she decided to return to familiar range. The old man spurred after the fugitive, roundly cursing her and all her antecedents. Huey turned to help him, but saw Dodge had managed to get her around, waving a coiled rope and yelling. She started back toward the herd, her head high and tail curled in a clear message that she had lost the round, but not the fight. She would try again.
Raise that tail all you want, you stinking whore! Just get back in that herd!
He slumped suddenly, gasping, and dropped the rope. He leaned to one side, grabbing at the horn. He looked toward Huey with wide eyes, then slid to the ground. His startled horse snorted and jumped sideways, ears pointed forward. For a few seconds, Huey feared Dodge's foot was caught in the stirrup. The horse panicked, the old man could be dragged, but his foot fell free before Huey could reach him. Huey was down and at Dodge's side before anyone else got there. The rancher's face was drained, his hands trembling.
I ought to left the old bitch for Slocum.
Dodge was having a seizure of some kind, but Huey didn't know what to do about it. Dodge strained to get up. He lacked the strength.
But lazy, Mr. Dodge. Something has happened to you.
Damn horse threw me off is what happened.
Dodge clutched the front of his shirt in a knotted fist. He had fallen off, but Huey wouldn't anger him by saying so. Being thrown off a horse was no disgrace, but only a town-raised pumpkin roller would admit to falling off. Word passed quickly to the point. Juanito came first and anxiously jumped down to join Huey.
Señor Dodge, you are all right?
I'm fine. Just fine.
Paget galloped back.
Is he hurt?
It's his heart, I'm thinking.
I've been arguing with him to ride in a wagon. He's got no business trying to be a cowboy anymore.
You calling me old?
Juanito looked ready to cry.
Ride up and tell the hands to hold the herd. We'll make camp.
It's too damn early.
It may be later than you want to admit.
Reluctantly, the boy rode off on the assigned mission.
Couldn't let him bust out bawling. Looked like he was fixing to.
If he don't cry for me, who will?
Walter rode ahead to catch Sixto and tell him to bring the wagon back. Huey and Paget carried Dodge into the thin shade of a mesquite and smoothed out a place for him in the soft sand. The old man gradually recovered enough strength to rail at his luck.
I wonder if that damn Slocum hired some blue hoe to put a curse on me.
You know you don't believe in witches. This has been sneaking up on you. You just wouldn't let yourself see it coming.
When the wagon arrived, Huey and Walter stretched a tarp out from one side of it to make a shade. Against Dodge's protest, Paget dispatched a Mexican hand to the next town to fetch a doctor.
Damn small town pill pushers. The only thing they ever do is open up my purse.
Sixto had a bottle of dark patent medicine in the chuck box. Huey recognized the label. It was advertised to cure almost any ailment known to man, woman, child, or horse. When Sixto uncorked it, the smell was like that of an animal 2 weeks dead. He prevailed on Dodge to swallow a large spoonful.
Damn it, Sixto. He trying to hurry me into my grave? I'll get there soon enough.
Dodge lapsed into sleep after a time. His breathing was irregular and so quiet that more than once Huey feared he had slipped away. Just at dark, the Mexican cowboy returned by himself, explaining that the town ahead had no doctor. Paget accepted the news with a fatalistic shrug.
I don't know if a doctor could do much for him anyway. I'm afraid he may have run out of strength.
Dodge opened his eyes part way.
I'm afraid you're right. Old Nick has got me caught by the hind foot.
Huh. I didn't think you were awake.
Awake and thinking. You ain't wrote me that draft yet for the cattle.
I do it right now.
No need to hurry. I don't think I'm going to any place where I can spend it.
Dodge clutched at his chest. He motioned for Paget to bend closer.
If I cash in, I want you to pay my hands the wages they've got coming. And a little extra besides. They're a good bunch.
Whatever you say, Mr. Dodge.
And that boy, Juanito. He's the nearest thing to a son that I ever had. Take him with you. And watch over him.
Don't you worry. I'll see to it.
Whatever money is left, send it to my nephew.
That's what you want?
You blew it all in. But I reckon that's what I was fixing to do with it myself. Too damned old to do anything else.
Dodge drifted off to sleep. Huey sat on the ground watching him in the dim light of the campfire. Life left the old man so gently that Huey didn't realize for a while that he was gone. Juanito reverently folded Dodge's arms and pulled the blanket over his face. Then walked out into the darkness alone. Huey started to follow him.
Leave him be. Some things the boy has to work through by himself. Once he does, he's not a boy anymore.
Huey and the hands dug a grave a little way off of the trail.
I can hear the herds going past. I think he'll like that.
Paget placed a silver dollar in the rancher's gnarled hand.
He's been broke more than once in his life, but he'll never be broke again.
They filled in the grave and marked it temporarily with a board out of the chuck wagon's end gate. Paget promised to send money to the sheriff for a proper stone.
What do you reckon it ought to say?
If I don't like it where I'm going, I swear by damn I'm coming back.
Late the next day, a rider caught up to them from behind. Huey recognized the deputy who had been with the sheriff in Slocum.
Looking for a feller the sheriff called Bill Jones.
There's nobody here by that name.
There might be. Depends on why you're looking for him.
Sheriff sent me to warn him that Sid Slocum's coming and bringing a ranger with him. Said to tell Jones he might want to take a pass out to the west and enjoy a change of scenery.
What's this Jones feller done?
Seems he coaxed Sid Slocum down into a dry cistern and left him there. Mr. Slocum ain't happy.
Walter forced a frown at Huey, but his eyes were laughing.
It didn't really hurt him, did it?
Just left him a little drawed is all, but he was mad enough to chew up horseshoes and spit them at somebody, especially somebody named Jones.
He gave Huey a slight grin and said he knew.
You come across anybody by that name, you might pass the word on to him.
Well, we will, if we come across him. Tell the sheriff for sure Jones will be much obliged. How about staying with us for supper?
Thanks. Got orders to keep looking for Jones. Think I'll hunt around over east.
As a deputy headed out, Walter turned to his brother.
Huey, I don't know how you'll ever make to 30 without getting shot or hung. I wish I could have seen Slocum's face. I'll bet he was a pretty sight.
I saw it, and there wasn't nothing pretty about it.
What do you do now?
Like you said, mosey off to the west a little ways, just far enough that I can't hear the cattle bawl. When Slocum gives up, I'll come back.
We're already out of that county sheriff's jurisdiction, but Slocum's got a ranger with him. The rangers can go anywhere.
Huey loped up to the point of the herd to tell Padgett what he was going to do. Padgett chuckled as Huey told him about Slocum and the cistern.
I figured you must have done something like that. Wish I'd have thought of it.
I'm kind of proud of it myself.
Get some grub from Sixto. Keep track of us. When we get to the outskirts of San Antonio, we'll turn west, so we don't stir up more housewives and dogs than we have to.
I'll find you.
Huey shook Padgett's hand. Huey stopped in a clump of brush before sunset and built a small fire to make coffee with water from a canteen. He ate a cold biscuit Sixto had given him with some hog meat left from the noon meal. When the coffee boiled enough, he kicked dirt over the fire to kill it. Otherwise, the flames could be seen for a considerable distance after dark. A feeling of loneliness came over him, for he had never spent much time by himself. Walter had always been around, and usually other people as well. He wondered if Slocum and the ranger had caught up with the herd. If they hadn't, they probably would by tomorrow. Huey could visualize Slocum and the ranger questioning the crew. The hands would probably feign ignorance of the English language. Mexicans often employed that defense against those who tried to intimidate them. Walter would not lie. That was something he had never been able to do. He would simply avoid a direct answer. Padgett would probably just tell him to go to hell. The next day, Huey rode at about the pace he knew the herd would travel, covering 7 or 8 miles. By supper, he'd eaten all the bread Sixto had given him, but he still had bacon and coffee enough to get him by. He saw a ranch house to the west and considered riding there for a meal. It was a ranch custom to feed solitary drifters so long as they didn't stay too long and abuse the hospitality. He decided against it, for if the ranger was serious about looking for him, he'd probably visit the ranch and ask questions. By the following day, he'd finished the bacon, and the sack of coffee was almost empty. He drew close enough to the herd that he could recognize the riders. He saw no strangers among them. He decided it was worth the risk to circle around and visit Sixto's wagon. It was a mile or so ahead of the cattle.
Come on, fella.
Putting a line of brush between him and the drive, he loped ahead. He sat at the edge of a thicket, watching as Sixto approached. He'd found the Mexican interesting. Sixto, well into middle age, had whiskers black as pitch, belying his age. He minded his own business and rarely talked beyond whatever was absolutely necessary. His black eyes seemed to see everything, but hid whatever was behind them. Sixto seemed always to be thinking. Huey wondered if he thought in Spanish or if he thought in words at all. He suspected the cook had come out of Mexico rather than South Texas. Huey liked to think Sixto had been a revolutionary and had killed some brutal haciendado for revenge. More likely, though, he'd simply been a bandit. Huey rode out to intercept him.
I'm out of grub. Seen anything of Slocum?
Sixto stood up and looked back toward the cattle.
See? The Slocum and the Rinche, they come to find you, but they don't find nothing. Nobody tells them nothing.
Where are they at now?
King sabe. They go away, but 2 times they come back. They think maybe they catch you.
Well, they ain't yet. Sack me up something to eat, will you, and I'll skin out of here again.
Sixto quickly filled Huey's sack.
Those ranches, they have extra eyes. This one talks much and looks dumb, but I think he sees everything.
They'll have to get up early in the morning to see me.
Maybe he don't sleep at all.
Tell my brother I'm doing fine.
Huey rode off in a long trot.